poor women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Last week we learned that a good wife is a happy wife. She's the doer of the Word. She doesn't look in the glass of the Word of God and see her sins and go away and pretend she never committed any or she doesn't need any improvement. No, she's a happy wife, and she yields herself to the Word of God. We learn that marriage is built on two hills. One is submission to her husband, and other is sex. Those two things so far we've learned in our marriage discussions. Then we saw Adam and Eve and how they were happy in love. And that didn't last very long because the serpent came. He was a very intelligent animal, and the devil got inside that serpent and used his intelligence for his benefit. And Eve was listening, wasn't she? I wonder how many previous conversations Eve had with this serpent. Could they have talked about common things previously? Had they dialogued before? Had they become common, this talking with the Shining One? Had he so softened her resistance to the unusual and talkative creature that Satan could now strike with the venom of the perverted word? We have many questions, much is unknown. The imagination darts in all directions, but I must rest upon the advice of Dr. Schaefer to respond, to respect the silences of God. There are many things in the Bible that we don't know, so we must respect them. And he, the serpent, Satan, saith unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's Genesis 3:1b. Now notice the serpent had a dialogue, but not with Adam, but with Eve. And was Adam silently standing near? The husband who was standing with her? Did the Shining One smile and speak but to the woman, the weaker vessel? Did he apply his wiles only to her? It seems that way. Not to the husband, the man who was formed from the same virgin dust. Did the wicked one scheme not to be the one who gave him his name, Adam? Did he hiss? This personification of evil, the serpent, stood by the tree and glowed, oozing light, 2 Corinthians 11:14, and coating his words with the candy of deceit. Did his coat dazzle Eve's eyes as she stood tall, reflecting the sunlight? Here, her vocal tones were as pearls dropping from his lips. She heard those tones. With an assiduously saccharine smile, he asked, Hath God said? And Kyle and Dielich, commentary, wrote that the serpent is saying, Hath God indeed said, Ye shall not eat of all the trees of the garden? Or is it really the fact that God has prohibited you from eating of all the trees of the garden? In other words, ye shall not eat any tree? What is the evil devil doing? He is doing about as he's going about as in wolf and sheep clothing, snarling doubt in Eve's ear. He is asking Eve a question to provoke her thinking. He is dialoguing with her. Watch him as he works. He will make a statement, then Eve will make a comment. They both will give a little ground to each other. Notice Eve does not resist any of his statements with faith. By the time their detente is accomplished, Eve will have lost everything, and Satan will have captured Adam's helpmeet. The beguiler will be one step nearer to snaring Adam. Casting all your care upon him, God, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Defraud you not one the other. It is too far-fetched. Is it too far-fetched to consider this temptation coming from Eve due to refusing her husband sexually? Defraud ye not one to the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not because of your lack of self-control. That's 1 Corinthians 7:5. So is it too far-fetched to think this? Had it been several days, perhaps a week or more, that Adam and Eve had not performed the act of marriage, this is one of the silences of God. We do not know why the serpent chose that moment to tempt Eve. Satan has other means to make one who fellowships with God fall beside promiscuous sex. There's cursing and blaspheming of God. There's bowing to carved images for worship. There's killing, there's stealing, there's lying, there's coveting, getting angry over little things, etc., etc. Notice Satan's wiles. Satan works from without to within, which is the reverse of the divine operations. God begins his work in man's heart, and the change wrought there reacts and transforms the outward life. Instead of commanding the serpent as Jesus did, "Get thee behind me, Satan," from Luke 4:8, Eve begins her unholy confab. Seeds of doubt, unbelief, and pride were rooting in her heart, which was beating excitingly because of the intellectual stimulation of this conversation. Now, this is Act 2, Scene 3. Eve looking at the serpent, not seeing the way of escape. It was as if an imaginary line had been drawn on the ground in the Garden of Eden, a line which said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" At this point in our study, Eve is picking up one foot, ready to step over on Satan's side, ready to turn her back on paradise and her providing creator, ready to sell her soul for the mess of pottage. But there was still time for her to resist the devil. He would have fled from her faith if she had. She could have looked for the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says there is a way of escape, and she could have taken it. How often in our living, in our homes, our gardens of Eden, does the tempter come to us in some beautiful, familiar form? How often our spirits are low, perhaps our husbands have spoken unkindly to us, or our children's demands have overpressured our minds, and the tempter's assistants have asked, "Hath God said?" With some ridiculous perversions of the word of God, Satan tempts us. Our hearts beat wildly with the new sounds to our ears. Our lusts are stirred and our pride is lifted up. 1 John 2:16. Take care. What goes up must come down. So if your pride is lifted up, it has to come down. Husband, lover, women, beware. Don't fail. Don't fall. Take the way of escape. My, there is so much in these lessons. I haven't read them for a long time, and they really stimulate my thinking to walk by faith and not let Satan get a hold of me in my home. How about you? Now, there's things for us to consider this week. I want you to consider them. One, consider going with your husband on a weekend together without the children. If you can't manage a whole weekend, just go away for one day and overnight into the next day. You will be surprised with this special time alone with your husband and away from the everyday cares of life and business responsibilities will do for both of you. The longer you are together, the more you'll forget the home cares and be wrapped up in each other. This is important. Be alone. Don't take your children. Don't go to a conference or visit married children or brothers or sisters or parents. Go by yourself someplace. The purpose is a honeymoon. How many other people were on your first honeymoon? So consider going away with your husband. Two, how about going out together for a date, such as a dinner date or a concert, even walking through the mall holding hands? When did you hold hands with your husband last? So consider just walking through the mall holding hands, just walking in the park. Maybe it's cold. It's very cold here. Well, bundle up and put on your heavy coat and your gloves and walk with your husband. Or go out and eat together. Or have an ice cream together. Or go to a concert together. But go alone. Three, holding hands is important. Remember how you used to love to hold his hand when you were first going together? I remember the first time I held my husband's hand and he held mine. Do you remember when the first time you held hands? Three, Sitting close in the car still can be fun. Have you tried it lately? The problem is these cars nowadays are not like the old-fashioned cars. They have these all the gear shifts and everything in the middle that everything takes hold. There's a whole, like a console, something between you and your husband. And it's hard. But you could reach over and touch him. You could pat his cheek. You could touch his leg. You could show him that it's nice to be near him. Number 6, comb your hair and look pretty when he's around the house. Other women where he works are doing this. Always make him feel that you care enough for him to take time to look good for him, even when you are washing the dishes. I remember my aunt was cleaning the floor one day, and my uncle came in, and he said to her, "Oh, your hair looks so pretty that way." And here she was cleaning the floor, and she hadn't done anything special. When he left the room, she got up, and she looked to see what her hair was like. And it had fallen in a certain position that he liked. And you can be sure she wore her hair that way again. 8, the way to a man's heart is not through the stomach. A woman told me that if she were teaching husband lessons, she would teach cooking. What do you think? If you are of the cooking school, beware lest the cooking go to your stomach and legs and arms and face rather than to his. 9, to seek for an efficient cause of sin is like attempting to see darkness or hear silence. That's a quote from Schaeffer's Theology. 10, the trouble with men is not external, but internal. What he or she needs most is not a new birth, B-E-R-T-H, but a new birth, B-I-R-T-H. You must be born again. 11, 1 Peter's kind of submission requires an aggressive, active submission. A new S word, now let's think about that, an aggressive, active submission. We have to work on this submission. 12, a new S word for husband loving is supportive. Remember we had submission and sex, now supportive. How good to back up our husband in what we are doing in their jobs. Do we support them? We should back up them what they're doing. In their heartaches, are we supporting their grief? In their happiness, are we rejoicing with them? In their decisions, do we encourage and support? Or are we taking our nightgowns and sleeping on the couch? Taking off our nightgowns and wearing just any old clothes and sleeping on the couch. We must be subordinate, submissive, subjective, surrendered, sexually aggressive, sanctified. Be holy like Sarah in 1 Peter 3, separated unto God and supportive. Read the first 3 chapters of Genesis and ask the Lord to reveal to you the area in your life where Satan is deceiving you. Confess the sin, turn from it, going on to victorious husband loving. Please change your lifestyle with your husband today.
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?